The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday, October 11th, 2018. Hope you're having a good week. We live stream our program at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. Let's go right to the live line. We've got a very busy hour, so let's get right into the content. Leah Marquez Peterson, the president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Republican candidate for Congress in the 2nd congressional district, is with us on the live line. Leah, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. What is your reaction to this news today about the National Republican Congressional Committee deciding to cut back on their TV spending in your campaign?
You know, it is disappointing, but independent groups can make their own decisions. The polling is still very close, so what I'm doing is continued focus on speaking to voters throughout the district. I've got a lot of momentum from the debate we had earlier this week, a lot of positive notes and great messages from the community, which I so appreciate it. So I'm not really focused on what the outside groups are doing. I'm just going to continue to focus on CD2 and Southern Arizona and take this race to the wind.
What do you think the message was that came out of that televised debate?
You know, I hope what people saw there was that I am a local candidate. I'm not, like Ann, someone who's come from the outside, moved from 5-6 hours north to try to represent us. There's also been so much hypocrisy, Bill, in this race. Crazy mailers sent out, I mentioned during the debate, that she claimed and stated that I had taken more than $50,000 in special interest group money when she's taken more than $3 million during her political career, yet they're putting out a crazy mailer on me about that. I also stated in the debate that she told Jonathan Payton when she ran against him in the Flagstaff area that people needed a lifetime of service to represent a district, yet now she's doing the same down here, moving into our community to try to represent when I've had a lifetime of service working throughout Southern Arizona. So I really hope that people in this debate realized just the stark contrast between our positions on issues and realize that I'm the local candidate that's so involved in the community, really loving and caring for Southern Arizona. Well, she's just moving in here for another political seat to get herself back to D.C.
What about clarifying your position on Social Security?
I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's a very typical scare tactic. There are mailers going out that I'm eliminating Social Security and Medicare, which is ridiculous. My own parents are on Social Security and Medicare. It's a very typical Democratic attack. What I stated in that debate was that I'm going to fight to keep the promises made and keep those programs in place. So there's absolutely no truth to that.
Would you also like to kind of clarify your position? You've taken some heat for not answering the question, do you believe in climate change? I think people were looking for a yes or no answer from you on that.
Yeah, you know, when that came up in the debate, what I'd state is I think we always need to be good stewards of our environment. We need to strike a strong balance, which is what I spoke about at the debate, between protecting our environmental resources like our deserts, our forests, and so on, but not hinder our economy for working families and others. I support alternative energies, solar, wind, and nuclear, and I think we need to move away from fossil fuels, and that's certainly a good thing, but it needs to be market-driven and not from government mandates that raise energy costs on people that have fixed incomes or on the poor.
But regardless of whether the reasons may not be exactly clear about the climate changing, would you agree that there is there is change happening with our climate?
No, certainly. I think that's pretty common sense.
What about an issue that came up during the debate about the A-10? Do you want to make some statement to our listeners about the future of the A-10?
Yeah, I mean, the A-10 is a major mission at our Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And I think most folks are aware that between DM and Fort Huachuca, they provide more than a $5 billion economic impact to our district. The A-10 is a vital mission to our national defense. Congresswoman McSally has done a great job finding additional resources, so I want to continue that work and continue to find additional resources for the rewinging of A-10s. And then we also need to look for additional missions at Davis-Monthan to ensure that we're not on any kind of short list for BRAC, the base realignment, and that we continue our support for DM and Fort Huachuca in the region.
How about coverage for pre-existing conditions on health care?
Yeah, I mean, any kind of, I guess if we start from a bigger picture, the Affordable Care Act is broken. We need to improve and update the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. I would certainly not support any kind of solution that would eliminate services or benefits for those with pre-existing conditions. We need to find a common sense solution. You know, I've been running the chamber for almost the last decade, and the majority of our members, which are small businesses, cannot afford insurance right now, and we are down to one insurance company. So what we've got is not working, and we need to work together for a bipartisan solution to the Affordable Care Act. And that includes providing something that's affordable and providing services for those with pre-existing conditions, of course.
How about the economy? I don't know if this really was touched on enough during the televised debate, but about what you would do specifically to kind of improve the economy for Southern Arizonans.
You know, I've been a big proponent of the Tax and Jobs Act, or tax reform that recently passed. I think that most families on average receive more than $2,000 a year and benefit from that. And it's been a great boost to our economy. We now see, at this point, Bill, consumer confidence and manufacturing confidence and small business confidence are all at an all-time high. So things are going incredibly well for the economy. But I'm also aware, especially running our Tucson Hispanic Chamber, which has offices in Sierra Vista, Douglas, and Nogales, that there's a difference in economic growth in Maricopa County as compared to Southern Arizona, Tucson, or even compared to Douglas. So I want to bring that perspective to Congress. What we need is really our fair share of different programs and resources. We really need someone who's focused on people throughout the district, from Douglas to Tombstone to Tucson and so on, to bring those resources home to Tucson.
Did you feel there were some issues that perhaps should have been covered that weren't covered in that televised debate, Leah?
Oh, I think they touched on a number of the issues. We talked about immigration. We talked about Dreamers and border security. I mean, obviously, in a one-hour debate, you hope you have a lot more time to go more in depth on different issues. I spoke about certainly a lot of border security in my answers because it's one of the top issues people are speaking about throughout the district. I've spent a lot of time with Sheriff Daniels of Cochise County and ranchers and NACO and on the border, and was surprised and mentioned during the debate that Ann had not even talked to Sheriff Daniels yet, which is shocking, to hear right directly from those most impacted by drug smuggling and human trafficking. So we didn't probably spend enough time there. There's also a real need for additional resources for our sheriff's departments, both Sheriff Napier and Sheriff Daniels. So would have liked to probably talk more about those needs also.
Do you think Ann Kirkpatrick is perhaps too liberal for CD2, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I think she's out of touch, Bill. I mean, she's not from here. She's moved here simply for another seat and to, run for her fourth term, which she made a term limit pledge of 3 terms, so she's violating her term limit pledge by running again. And she is just too extreme and too liberal for this community. I've grown up here more than 40 years, you know, attended TUSD schools and the U of A and chair of the board of St. Mary's Hospital and on the tourism board and just so many different organizations. I think I really have a feel for what folks throughout CD2 need and are wanting from their congressperson, and I don't think she's it.
What would you, now that even though maybe there won't be as many TV ads, you're still going to have quite a presence, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the focus really is knocking on doors, calling voters, and I'd like to ask anyone listening who'd like to help me win this seat and keep it local to consider volunteering for my campaign. We've got some great momentum, especially after this debate. People can go to my website, which is voteforleah.com, voteforlea.com, and just click on the volunteer button. This Saturday, we're gathering hundreds of volunteers together to knock on doors and make phone calls throughout the entire district, and I really would appreciate the community's additional support.
Leah, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. Leah Marquez-Peterson with us on The Buckmaster Show. This portion of the show presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and it's also home of some of the best bread you're ever going to taste for your sandwich right now at lunch. My goodness, they have such a variety of breads and a variety of sandwiches. You can have it hot, you can have it cold, and it will be something that you will bring a smile to your face. And how about a brownie for dessert? Steve and the team of bakers get up so early to make sure all of your bread is so fresh and open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. A link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of the great partners of Buckmaster. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll take a deep dive into the Arizona film industry. The roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things. Green Things on their 13-acre site is now home to Zocalo Village. Oh, my goodness. Five shops now at Zocalo Village at Green Things. All that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. And on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now Congressional District 1 Republican candidate Wendy Rogers. Colonel Rogers with us on the live line. Colonel, how are you?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
Thank you very much. Tell me about how you perceive the campaign to be going.
Oh, it's going very well for our campaign. We are up 3 points over the Democrat. This is a very winnable seat. This is actually one of four seats I know of nationally where we can flip a seat from Democrat to Republican. There are a couple in Minnesota, one in Nevada, and then this one here in Arizona.
What is the issue that separates you from Congressman O'Halloran?
Well, there are a lot of issues that separate me from Congressman O'Halloran. The latest one is endorsements. I was endorsed by Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and as a complete contrast to that, Congressman O'Halloran was endorsed by an out-of-state liberal socialist, Congressman Joseph Kennedy. So that went out on my email today as kind of a stark contrast in the types of folks who are supporting us. But really, Bill, this campaign, this election comes down to the fact that do we or do we not want to promote the good news and prosperity started under the Trump administration or regress back to the way things were. For example, you know, if I just read to you a couple of headlines just from the past month or so, small business optimism surges to highest level ever, topping previous record under Reagan. Economy adds more jobs than expected in August, and wage growth hits post-recession high. U.S. job openings climb to record 6.9 million. U.S. stocks reach new high ahead of record bull market. U.S. household income increases the third straight year to $61,372. U.S. GDP, the big indicator, revised now up to 4.2%. Railroad companies, desperate for workers, offer hiring bonuses up to $25,000. America is now the largest oil producer in the world. And then the big indicator that just came out, jobless claims fall to 203,000, and they haven't been this low since December 6th. 1969, when I was in high school. Middle-class incomes hit all-time high, and Hispanic household income hits record high. So on and on and on. America is back. We are reaching our economic potential. I am running to continue the conservative pro-American job policies of President Trump. I keep hearing that control of the House of Representatives could come down to one seat. I mean, we have the Supreme Court, we have the Senate, we have the presidency. If we lose control of the House of Representatives to invisible Tom O'Halloran and Nancy Pelosi, all of the progress we've made will stop cold in its tracks. I mean, they have said that they will impeach the president, tax cuts would be overturned, and forget about the wall and border security funding. Even in our own state, right there in southern Arizona, liberal Democrats on the Pima County Board of Supervisors just rejected millions of dollars in border security funding for our Arizona border, which was completely irresponsible. These liberals have Trump derangement syndrome. They play politics with the safety of our communities and families. When we take this seat back, Bill, I will go to Congress to fight. That means supporting President Trump. That means building the wall, repealing Obamacare, securing our border, getting more tax cuts, protecting Social Security, protecting our guns, voting for term limits, and making darn sure that my fellow veterans get the care that they deserve. And these aren't talking points. These comprise my checklist. I'm a pilot. I operate with checklists, and I keep a list.
What about, are you contending that just Congressman O'Halloran is just too liberal for the CD1 district?
That is correct.
And this district has such diversity from the suburbs of the Tucson area all the way up to almost the Utah border. Are you a better fit than Tom O'Halloran? Is that what I'm hearing?
I love that question. Absolutely. I have conducted over 55 rallies all over the district, flying my Cessna 182 throughout the district. We just got back 2 days ago from having been to Safford, Morenci. We started down in Oral Valley, Eloy, flew out to Springerville, did events there, and then ended up in Safford, Morenci, and then flew back. That was just one example of all of the visits that I've made. And overwhelmingly, these are the small towns and cities that are normally flyover areas that are never visited. And they tell me time and time again, no congressman or congresswoman, least of all a congressional candidate, has ever visited us. And I go and we talk and I listen and I take notes and I stay for a meal. And the crowds that have been coming out have been stunning. We get anywhere from 30 to 80 people at every one of my events. And they talk. Small towns honor the fact that you show up, especially up on the Navajo Nation, where I have visited many, many times. And what resonates there are two of my attributes, namely that I'm a veteran and that I'm a grandmother. And that is essential part of their culture. As most of your listeners may know, we are talking about the Navajo Nation, which has a different time zone, a different language, and a culture all unto its own. However, 70% of the Navajo Nation went to World War II. 9 of the code talkers are still alive, and grandmothers essentially rule the roost. So when grandmothers say vote for Wendy, they vote for Wendy. And that's because I've been to so many chapter house meetings and met with so many folks up there way before I won the primary. I was up there earlier this year and have been up there many, many times flying our airplane there into Window Rock, into Kienta, and other areas. So this is a district that is a great fit for someone like me to represent, someone who has served her country for 20 years as one of the very first women pilots in the Air Force, who has raised a family, who still meets payroll as a small business owner. I just came from a small business meeting here for my business 10 minutes ago. And these are the kinds of personality traits and characteristics that I have that are a great fit for this district. And I'm going to go to Congress and flip this seat and support this president. I have been an unabashed, relentless supporter of President Trump ever since 2015, when I introduced him to the crowd as a representative veteran on just his second visit to Arizona back in December 2015.
All right. Where can people find out more about your campaign?
It's really easy, folks. Wendy, like the hamburgers, Rogers, like Mr. Rogers.org, W-E-N-D-Y, Wendy, Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, .org, WendyRogers.org. We really need donations. My opponent, of course, had no competition in his primary, so he is flush with cash, and so we really need donations. We are winning because we work hard, but I do need you to help me on that. Facebook is the most contemporary day-to-day, minute-to-minute way to follow me, and that's real easy. It's facebook.com/WendyRogersArizona, all spelled out.
All right, Colonel Rogers, Colonel Wendy Rogers with us. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be with you.
Thanks a lot. Wendy Rogers with us. Up next, Tucson Meet Yourself, coming up, the 45th edition of Tucson Meet Yourself. We'll find out about what's new for this year's festival right after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday edition, 12:32, and it's time to talk about one of Tucson's most, well, one of its iconic festivals, certainly. It's Tucson Meet Yourself time again. The annual festival takes over downtown Tucson for 3 days this year, starting tomorrow and running through Sunday. Kimmy Eisel is with us. Kimmy is a spokesperson for the annual Tucson Meet Yourself Folklife Festival. Kimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about what are some of the changes for this year's festival.
Yeah, well, so this year, you know, the big news is that we've had to move the festival out of Presidio Park, where it first started in 1974. But we haven't gone far. We're still surrounding the downtown public library, but we've moved on to some city blocks. So we're now on Stone Avenue, Church Avenue, and Pennington Street. So we're taking over those streets, and those streets are closed for the weekend for the festival.
And this will be the first time then you've been in that location.
Exactly. And it's still very easy to find. It's just right, almost exactly where it used to be. We're just not in the park. So people shouldn't have any problem spotting us.
Well, I think Tucson Meet Yourself has been affectionately called, Kimmy, Tucson Eat Yourself, because it's just amazing the wide variety of food vendors that you have. Give us a rundown of the type of food that we can find at Tucson Meet Yourself.
We like to call it that, too. We have no problem with that name. So we have over 50 vendors this year, and they come from 30 different regions of the world and the United States. we have some new vendors. You know, people can find their favorites there for the longstanding, the Autumn Ladies with the fry bread and the Buddhist monks with pad thai. So people should be able to find their favorite foods there. But we also have some new vendors. We have a Chilean booth. She's bringing back the booth that her mother and her aunt and several other people used to run. So that's kind of exciting. We also have a vendor from Oaxaca who will be selling Oaxacan moles, which is that rich, spicy, traditional sauce.
Ooh, that's very good. Very nice, yeah.
Yeah, we've got vendors, a new food vendor from Egypt. We have some local restaurants like Mariscos Chihuahua, which will be familiar to people, and of course BK, Sonoran Hot Dog. So those will be present at the festival. So Caribbean food, food from Europe, food from Latin America. Another highlighted new vendor is the San Javier Co-op Farm. Hmm. So we're really excited to have the indigenous food from this desert. So they'll be sharing food like choya bud and cookies made with mesquite flour. And so we're really celebrating this place and the presence of the Tohono O'odham in this place for a very long time.
Wow.
Bringing those foods back to our palate.
50 plus food vendors. You're making me hungry already, Kimmy.
Well, good.
Yeah.
The
festival, of course, has been growing since its founding back in 1974. My friend, folklorist Big Jim Griffith, and his wife, Loma Griffith, and friends really got the whole thing going. And how has it changed, Kimmy, over the years?
You know, the footprint has, you know, gotten smaller. The footprint is what we call sort of the extent of the festival grounds. You know, it's gotten bigger and smaller. This year, it's actually a little bit smaller, but it'll still have that same expansive feel. You know, so those changes are, you know, sort of negligent, but, you know, I think what the main thing that stays the same is this incredible celebration of who we are collectively as a community. That spirit really has stayed true since day one with, you know, Big Jim and Loma's intention to create this civic space where so many different kinds of people can come together. And we haven't lost that. That is still the main goal, the main mission, the main thing that we all work so hard to create with this 3-day festival.
How is Big Jim doing?
He's great. He's going to be at the festival. He'll be introducing some of our headliner acts and some of our tried and true acts. So he'll be wheeling around in his chair, and people can stop and say hello to him. And he serves on the board of the Southwest Folklife Alliance, so he's very much involved in, you know, helping steer us in the right direction, really staying true to that mission of celebrating the hidden beauty, you know, that is our folk life.
And of course, his successor, Maribel Alvarez, has done a great job picking up where Big Jim, you know, with his founding, really of the two at the University of Arizona of the Folklore Center.
The Southwest Folklife Alliance was built around keeping that festival alive, and Dr. Alvarez has kept that going, and she still serves as the festival folklorist, so she oversees the curatorial decisions of the festival. And then, you know, the beautiful thing is that, you know, she has now a new position at the university, which is Associate Dean of Community Engagement. So it's these lessons in how to work in community, you know, that we've really worked through all these years at the festival are now, you know, being shared with other programs and departments at the university and in that particular college.
And the festival is still free, which is great. And so what about entertainment? We have not touched on that. We touched on food. Any areas that you would like to highlight?
Mm-hmm. So much entertainment, music and dance going on, 3 stages all the time. We've got some headliner acts. We have a group coming directly from Veracruz, Mexico. They play a kind of folk music called Son Jarocho, which comes from the region of Veracruz. And then we also have Lil Nathan and the Zydeco Big Timers bringing Zydeco music straight from New Orleans.
Very good.
So those are headlining acts. And then we've got all your favorite local performers, Gertie and T.O. Boys, you know, the only female-led Wyla band on the Tohono O'odham Nation. We've got traditional Polish folk dancing. We've got music from the Balkans. We've got music from Mexico. We've got music from the Deep South. So dancing from all regions of the world, too. So you can sit and eat your whatever you like, and you can listen and watch the performers.
The streetcar is free on Saturday, so transportation over to the festival will be very easy that day for sure.
Yes, and parking is free on the weekends, and parking lot, there are plenty of parking garages in the area, and I think it's a flat fee of $3. I will mention that it is forecast to rain, but the festival will go on, rain or shine. We are ready for the rain. You know, in the event of really heavy rain, of course, we'll make some adjustments to the schedule. But, you know, rain is also an important part of our desert environment, just as much as all these cultures are. So, you know, we like to think of the rain as kind of an invitation to practice acceptance and celebration, which is, you know, really what the festival is actually all about.
Kimmy, I think it's worth pointing out that when this festival really got underway in the mid-70s, there weren't festivals like this around the United States. This is really one of the leaders in these kind of diversity festivals where you honor your community and the diversity. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, of course, we have the big Smithsonian Festival every year in Washington, D.C., and that, you know, that has brought us a lot of lessons, you know, learning from that festival. You know, one thing that people from who have visited this festival comment, and it's just worth noting, I can see it every time, and I can see it in the staff of the festival, is that, you know, the diversity of the performers and artists and food vendors is remarkable. And that diversity is reflected in the people who come to the festival. So, you know, you can be watching a performance and sitting next to someone who, you know, just has a completely different culture or experience than you. So we love that mirror happens of performer and artist and culinary artists is mirrored in the people who come to the festival. And also in the staff of, you know, the people who are out there right now, you know, driving around golf carts and setting up booths. You know, they're all from different experiences and backgrounds and cultures too. So it's this really beautiful moment where we can come together and you know, experience 3 days together in this peaceful and tasty way.
All right, Kimmy, where can people get more information? The website?
You can find everything you need to know at TucsonMeetYourself.org.
Kimmy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks
a
lot.
Have a great weekend.
Kimmy Eisel with us from Tucson Meet Yourself. You know, Thanksgiving's just around the corner, and Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, is a great place for all of your ordering your dinner rolls and all of your pies. And here's an idea, too. How about one of these famous Danish Kringles for Thanksgiving morning? Have a Kringle, then relax, kick back, get ready for the main meal later in the day. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There is a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by right now. They're open for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only a 3-hour drive over to this very pretty area of the southwestern United States, and here we are now mid-October. That means that the leaves have turned and are turning in the Gila National Forest. This is a beautiful time to visit New Mexico. I would suggest as a starting place their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. There you'll find the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation ideas, things to do around Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, a silent epidemic in the United States is imperiling our health and threatens to bankrupt our healthcare system. What's the problem? Well, it's over-medication. Today, one-third of all adults take two or more prescription drugs. Half of all people over 65 take more than 5 daily. There's a new book out that tackles the epidemic overuse of prescription drugs. The book is titled, Do You Really Need That Pill? How to Avoid Side Effects, Interactions, and Other Dangers of Overmedication. The publisher is Sky Horse Publishing, and the author is Dr. Jennifer Jacobs. Dr. Jacobs served on the advisory board of the NIH Office of Alternative Medicine. She is a current advisory board member of the monthly magazine Natural Health, as well as a clinical assistant professor in epidemiology at the University of Washington School of Public Health and Community Medicine. She divides her time between the Seattle area and Tucson. Dr. Jacobs, a pleasure. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's very interesting, and we've heard that people seem to be over-medicated. More and more prescription drugs seems to be the answer to just about everything. What was the catalyst? What was the genesis for this book, Dr. Jacobs?
I've always been concerned about people taking too many prescription drugs, but the real catalyst was an experience that I had with my mother-in-law a few years ago. She was 88 years old at the time, and she was hospitalized for kidney failure and dehydration. When she was discharged, the records showed that she had been taking 13 different drugs.
Wow.
The result of which was put her into the hospital with kidney failure. So I started researching this problem of over-medication, and as you said, the statistics are somewhat concerning that almost half of people age 65 and older take five or more drugs. And in my research, I found that taking five or more drugs doubles your risk of having a side effect and makes you 50% more likely to have an adverse drug-drug interaction.
And this case with your own mother about she was taking all these drugs, and I'm sure some of those drugs were not good to be interacting with the others. That probably boiled down to be the big issue.
Yes, indeed. It was my mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
And yes, we did find in researching all of her drugs that there was a bad reaction between two of them that threw her into kidney failure.
Let's talk about what are some of the, and people do these kind of unintentional overdoses. They may not. They may go to a multiple different healthcare providers, different doctors, and the doctors don't know. One doctor doesn't know what their patient is really being prescribed.
Yes, that is a big problem, and the important thing is that people would go to the same pharmacy so that the pharmacist could perhaps pick out when there are drugs that don't interact together. But that's just one of many problems with taking too many drugs. Another problem that happens frequently is what we call a prescribing cascade, when one drug causes a side effect that's mistaken for a new illness, and another drug is prescribed for this new illness, and that has a side effect that's thought to be a third illness, and it becomes a vicious cycle.
Let's get into pretty much the second half of the book. You discuss the first half discusses the dangers which we've been describing of taking too many drugs, and the second half of the book discusses the benefits and harms caused by many of these popular drugs. Well, for example, it seems like everybody I know is on statins for high cholesterol. What are alternatives to statins, Dr. Jacobs? And what are the dangers of statins?
Well, statins, as you say, are very commonly prescribed, and yet high cholesterol is only one of many factors that contributes to heart disease. Research has shown that 80% of heart disease can be prevented through not smoking, having a good diet, and exercising. There are five or six other factors: family history, high blood pressure, obesity, all contributing to heart disease. And yet what's often looked at and what's emphasized is just taking this pill to bring down your cholesterol level. In one study, they showed that over 70% of people with their first heart attacks had normal cholesterol. So if cholesterol is the culprit, how can this be? The side effects of cholesterol, of statins, muscle problems, muscle pain and muscle injury occurs in up to 20% of people taking it. Statins have increased the risk of diabetes by 50%, and dementia, which is really a growing problem in our country, has been associated with people taking statins.
We're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Jacobs. Dr. Jacobs' book is titled, Do You Really Need That Pill? We were just talking about high cholesterol and statins. What about acid reflux? This is an area where people are prescribed a drug for their acid reflux, and they're told, really, this is just a temporary situation, but they wind up taking this drug for years. Then when they try to get off it, there are all these terrible rebound effects.
Yes, acid reflux is one of the things that I think people are over-medicated for. As you said, they're given the drugs for a short time. They were only approved by the FDA for 2 weeks, and people take them indefinitely. I'm speaking mostly about the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors. And what they do, how they act, is they suppress the stomach acid, the production of acid in your stomach. Well, acid is necessary in the stomach for absorbing many important vitamins and nutrients, vitamin B12, calcium. These things all need acid in the stomach to be absorbed. If you don't get these nutrients, you're at an increased risk of anemia, of broken bones, even, again, dementia, which is related to vitamin B12 deficiency.
Another big one, of course, is depression. What are the alternatives to not taking a pill for depression?
I was really surprised, Bill, when I looked into this subject. Studies have shown, for example, exercise is just as effective for treating depression as antidepressants, and it's actually longer lasting. Also, cognitive behavioral therapy. One of the main medical groups, the American College of Physicians, recommends cognitive behavioral therapy as the first line of treatment for depression.
Would that be like talk therapy, right?
It's a type of talk therapy, exactly.
So a combination of talking to a professional and exercising, in many cases, can be just as effective as a prescription drug for depression.
Absolutely. Some studies have suggested that only 1 out of every 7 people who take antidepressants are helped by them. So, yes, looking for other alternatives is really the best way to go.
How about pain medication?
Yes, that's a difficult one. As we know, we're in the middle of an opioid epidemic. And again, a shocking study I've read showed that common over-the-counter meds like ibuprofen or aspirin are just as effective for chronic pain.
Yeah, I heard about that study.
Yes.
That is really amazing. And we've been told that, you know, that you need some kind of real high-power opioid when in many cases an Advil or an ibuprofen will be just as effective.
Exactly. And again, exercise, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, even Mediterranean diet, which is anti-inflammatory, has been shown to be helpful for chronic pain.
Osteoporosis, you want to touch on that briefly?
Well, a lot of women are told that they have osteopenia and are put on osteoporosis drugs. Unfortunately, the side effects of these drugs, again, are worse, I believe, than the risk of having osteoporosis. The main danger with osteoporosis is bone fractures, which, and a fractured hip can be life-threatening and change someone's life forever. But there are many other things people can do to prevent fractures other than take osteoporosis drugs. Getting rid of throw rugs, having rails on the bathtub, and not taking drugs that make you have dizziness, such as high blood pressure drugs, which might not be needed in someone who's elderly, can cause them to become lightheaded and fall. So the osteoporosis drugs actually, in some cases, after taking them for several years, can increase someone's risk of having bone fractures.
What would you like the reader to take away from your book? What message, bottom line message, Dr. Jacobs?
The bottom line message is that you have to take control of your health. You have to talk to your doctor and find out which drugs you may not really need and get serious about making lifestyle changes such as improving your diet, exercising, losing weight. Those things can actually help you to live longer and have a much more productive and healthy life than taking pills that have side effects that actually will make you sicker in the long run.
Dr. Jacobs, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to tell our listeners you're going to have a couple of book signings to talk about your book, Do You Really Need That Pill is the title, Oro Valley Library, Thursday, October the 18th. That's next Thursday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and mostly books. Dr. Jacobs will be appearing there, and that will be Sunday, October 21st, mostly books. That event getting underway at 1 in the afternoon, 6208 East Speedway for Mosley Books. And you can meet Dr. Jacobs, and she'll be talking about the book, Do You Really Need That Pill? Again, Dr. Jacobs, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Michael Medved after my program. Then we have Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 in the morning. I'll be off tomorrow. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson will be hosting the program, taking a deep dive into the Arizona film industry. What do we need to revive that industry? So, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.